several folks from the church that are struggling with some health issues, maybe other types of problems and needs, then we feel the burden of it, don't we? We feel the load of it, and that's normal. That's the normal response, to be concerned and probably even a little distracted. but if we could, just for a few minutes here, just look to the word of the Lord. You know, God's word is powerful to change lives. I have many, many times over the years, I have heard messages that literally have changed the direction of my life. Literally, one sermon that can distract you or turn your attention in another direction, and that is the power of the Word of God. Amen. And I believe that God can speak to us through His Word. Jeremiah chapter 2. I'm going to read just a few verses here in Jeremiah chapter 2. Start reading with verse number 1. Jeremiah 2 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon thee, saith the Lord. Now, this is just part of a message of Jeremiah to a backslidden people. And you have to remember that Jeremiah was a young person. He was called in chapter 1, gives the account of the call of Jeremiah to be a prophet unto the Lord. And he was a reluctant prophet. Most believe that Jeremiah was probably a teenager, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. No one really knows for sure, but we know he was young because he describes himself as a child, as a young person. And so you can look back to chapter 1 and verse number 5. This is the word of the Lord to Jeremiah at his calling. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now just think about that. That's pretty hard to comprehend, isn't it? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now that's the voice of the Lord speaking to a young teenage boy, telling him, I have called you. And I have sanctified you. I have set you apart for this task. And here's his response. Then said I, oh, Lord God. There's a sigh in his expression there. Oh, Lord God, how's this possible? Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now that ideally is what every preacher wants to happen. He wants to stand up, open up the written word, but there also would be the voice of the Lord speaking through the ministry of the word of the Lord. So that kind of gives a little bit of a picture of what this message, this first message of Jeremiah's, which is a tough message as a teenage boy to preach to a backslidden nation. But because he had heard the word of the Lord, he was able to speak to them and to describe the exact situation, the exact condition that they were in. Notice what he says. Go and cry to the ears of Jerusalem. There was to be a passion to this message. Go and cry to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice and cry to the people. The word of the Lord came to him, giving him the words to speak. Really, preachers should be able to preach with a cry or a passion in their voice. Amen? There should be a word of the Lord. That doesn't mean necessarily that you have to scream and holler, but it does mean that there should be a passion in your message and in your voice. You should be, it should be so that you understand that this is an important truth that needs to be communicated from God by the man of God. Amen. And that's what Jeremiah is struggling with in this first message. I remember my first message. It was, I think, 7 minutes long. And I may have had that many pages of notes. I don't know how many I had, but I do know that I thought that I was going to get up and I was going to burn up the world. And I did not. I did not. I did my best, but I sat down feeling pretty humiliated and ashamed and wishing that I could have done more. But amazingly, God can even take our weaknesses and our lack of ability. When you have heard a word from God, it can change people's lives. And God was using Jeremiah to speak to a backslidden people. I mean, why couldn't his first message been one of encouragement or something that would just not be so harsh and so severe? But that was the word of the Lord that he spoke to the people, crying out to the city of Jerusalem in the condition that they were in. Notice what he says. Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. I remember thee. And he was talking about the fact that the children of Israel, that they once had a close love and fellowship with the Lord, but now they've strayed away from it. You know, one of the things that Satan loves to do is wipe away your memory. He loves to destroy your memories. And I've talked to people before that they've turned their back on the Lord, or they've turned back on some of their commitments and their areas of dedication to the Lord. And you talk to them and remind them, you know, I remember when you used to be the last one up out of the altar. And they look at you like, what? Me? They've forgotten their commitments. They've forgotten what they used to be, the walk that they used to have with the Lord. But oh, the Lord, he keeps a good record. I remember thee. I remember the kind of fellowship that we had. I remember what you were and how that I was at work in your life. I remember all that was going on in your life. I remember thee. Amen. I remember you used to be, the walk with God that you used to have. And he's reminding them, you have forgotten what it used to be like to know the Lord in a close, intimate fellowship with the Lord. You've walked away from that. And now this is the first message from this young teenage preacher talking to them about the steps that they have taken to walk away from the Lord. But he spoke to this backsliding people and said, I remember you. You used to have a love for God. You used to have a love for the things of God. You used to have a love for to pray. You used to love to be in fellowship with the people of God. You used to love the house of God. But gradually you've moved away from all of those things that I have done in your life. But the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and on this first message of this teenage preacher, he is reminding them. He said, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. I remember, this is not describing how that they were kind to God, but how that God was kind to them and all that God had done for them. Too often we are forgetful. We forget all the wonderful things that God has done for us. How the wonderful ways he has worked in our life. I remember the kindness of thy youth and the love of thine espousals. I remember, he's comparing their relationship to like an engaged couple. That when they're engaged, they want to be together all the time. They want to constantly be together. They want to talk all the time. They want to be together. They're looking forward to the day when they're going to be a couple and a married couple, and they're going to be together all the time. But they're longing for that day. They're longing for that time. And he's comparing them to that. I remember what it was like. I remember all the kindnesses that I've done for you. I remember the kind of relationship that we used to have. The love of thine espousals when thou went after me. That was the description that he's giving to this backsliding people. I remember what it used to be like. Amen. And I think an appeal that I wanted to make to all of us here tonight, was there ever and has there ever been a time when you were walking in fellowship with the Lord, but you've kind of slipped away from that? It's really easy to happen. Good people can really gradually, easily slip away from their commitment to the Lord, and it doesn't take long at all for you to just slip away from that first love and from that closeness and that fellowship with the Lord. But God remembers the kind of fellowship and relationship that you've had. The Ephesian church, Revelation chapter 2. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left. You haven't lost it. You haven't lost your first love. You have left your first love. You made decisions that cause you to walk gradually away from that place of close fellowship with the Lord. He's speaking to these returning remnant, these Jews who have forsaken and forgotten the close fellowship that they had with the Lord at one time and walked away from it, from the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. What it was like when love was new and love was fresh and your relationship with the Lord. You remember what it was like when you first got saved? We've all seen new Christians with a love for the Bible, with a love for the house of God, with a desire to be with the people of God, with a desire to be around the altars, a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. New Christians, they just have a desire and a zeal after God. It's one of the indicators that they have truly been born again because they have such a love for the things of God. They may not understand it all, but they want more and they want to learn more, and they have a zeal after the things of God. Jeremiah's first sermon to this backsliding people was reminding them, you have slipped away from that. And I think it's a warning to all of us, every one of us, that it's easy to slip away from that closeness and that fellowship that we have had with the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 3. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Remember Israel? That was his name after his encounter at Peniel. He had a name change when he had that encounter. Before, he was the deceiver, the supplanter. He was Jacob, the one who deceived. But now his name was changed. Now you're Israel. You have been changed. You're a new person. Israel was, past tense, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Was holiness unto the Lord. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that there was a purity of heart. There was a singleness of heart. There was a commitment and a love and a dedication to the Lord. This is what you were, Israel. You were at this level of commitment to the Lord. But what's happened to you? I remember what you used to be, but where are you now? And how have you allowed yourself to slip away from that place of fellowship with the Lord? He says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. And the first fruits of his increase. What was he saying? He was just saying, you know, the tithe was a reminder that God was to be first. That's what the tithe was all about. The whole lesson of tithing is that you put God first, the first fruits of your increase. That you're reminded that he's the one that provides for you. He's the one that supplies all of your needs. And the first fruits, it just simply means you put God first before everything else. You are holiness unto the Lord, and you used to put me first in every area of your life. Amen. You were the first thought that came to my mind to put God first in every area of your life. So this is just a short little sermon from this young teenage preacher, but you talk about pointed, strong, and convicting to remind them what they were and that God knew what they were, but they had strayed away from that, walked away from that closeness with the Lord. When we think about holiness unto the Lord, there's really a couple of aspects of this that I'll mention tonight. First of all is the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God, the sanctifying work of God's Word. It is the work of God. It's what God does in your life by His Spirit and by His Word. He sets you apart. He sets you apart. You are no longer like the world, but you are completely set apart. But then another aspect of this holiness unto the Lord is the work that you do. Amen. That's what we call consecration. That there is a work that God does in sanctifying us, but then there's also a work of consecration, and that is what you bring to the Lord. That's what you offer to Him. That's what you lay down at the feet of Jesus, and you consecrate to Him. That means every area of your life, your time, your decisions, your money, your future, everything. You come in, you bring it to the Lord, and you give it to the Lord and allow Him to take what you've brought to him and to use it for his glory. You can read about consecration in the book of Exodus, chapter 29. It's describing the temple and Aaron and his sons being brought into the temple and were consecrated before the Lord. Everything that was brought into the temple, from their robes, their garments, were sanctified. Every piece of furniture, every item that was brought into the house of the Lord was placed there and consecrated to be used for God's purpose. That's what it was to be. It was not to be used for any other purpose. There's several places in the Bible where they stole away the vessels out of the temple and they desecrated them and used them for things that they were never intended for. And they faced the judgment of God whenever they desecrated the things that belonged to the Lord. So when we talk about holiness unto the Lord, certainly there's a work of sanctification that God does by his Spirit, and we're sanctified by his word. But also we bring ourselves, our lives, our futures, everything, and we put it into the hands of the Lord and we consecrate it to him. Amen. We are no longer our own, but everything that we are and everything that we have, we put it into his hands. Amen. Praise God. I do remember when I was a young person trying to going through the tug of war of spiritual decisions and wanting to do God's will, but also wanting to do my will and try to bargain with God. Lord, why can't I do this and go this direction and do these things and still serve you? But it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You have to lay down all of your plans, your desires, and put it on the altar and consecrate it to the Lord. Lord, my life, my future, my decisions, everything, it belongs to you. Amen. There's no place of peace or joy in your life until you're willing to do that. Amen. Don't ever say, no, I would never be one of those. No, I would never preach the gospel. No, I would never be a missionary. Don't say no about anything that God might be wanting to put his finger on your life. Amen. But come and consecrate your life to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, I'm yours. You do with me what you want to do with me. My life is yours. And it's a tough, tough decision sometimes. But oh, the joy, oh, the peace that comes when you allow the Lord to have your life, to have your future, and put it completely in his hands. So he said, I remember you. I know what you used to be. And he put his finger on all the areas of your life, of their lives, that they had thrown away their first love. They had thrown away their commitments to the Lord and had forsaken all of those things. And he said, you used to be holiness unto the Lord. You used to have this level of commitment and dedication to the Lord. Amen. So that's a pretty strong message from a young preacher, especially for his first sermon. It wasn't that long, but it was a word from the Lord. It was a word to a backsliding people. And God always responds to his word and accomplishes wonderful things through the power of his word and by the power of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the message, the thought on my heart here tonight, God remembers where you used to be and your love for God and your commitment to the Lord, and it's time to renew that. It's time to get back to that. It's time to not allow any of these things that have distracted you and pulled you away from the voice of the Lord. Don't allow it. to hinder your commitment and your walk with the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we just ask, God, that you would speak to us tonight through the power of your word. We ask, Lord, that you would just help us to see exactly where we are. Lord, if we've strayed, if we've backslidden, if we've turned away from the voice of the Lord, Lord, would you forgive us and help us to get back to that place of close fellowship with you? I ask you, Lord, to help us, God, to be what you have called us to be in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me, help all of us, Lord, here tonight, Lord, to walk in obedience to your voice. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Could we stand, everybody?